The Comprehensive Guide to Apologetics by Joseph M. Holden, Editor. Harvest House, 2018. 521 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents. Preface: The Battle for Hearts and Minds. Part 1. Questions about Apologetics and Truth. 1. What is apologetics and why do we need it? By Norman L. Geisler. 2. What about A Short History of Apologetics? By John Warwick Montgomery. 3. What are some apologetic approaches? By H. Wayne House. 4. What is the overall apologetic task? By Don Deal and Joseph M. Holden. 5. What is the relationship between faith and reason? By Mark M. Hanna. 6. What is truth? By Richard G. Howe. 7. How can we know truth? By Richard G. Howe. 8. What is conversational apologetics? By David Geisler. 9. How can we make apologetics culturally relevant? By Miguel Angel Indara. 10. What is the Holy Spirit's role in apologetics? By Ed Hinson. Part 2. Questions about God. 11. Why does God seem hidden? By Natasha Crane. 12. What are the classical proofs for God's existence? By Richard G. Howe. 13. What are some other arguments for God's existence? By Thomas W. Baker. 14. If God exists, why is there evil? By Clay Jones. 15. Canaanites, Crusades, and Catastrophe. Is God a Moral Monster? By Douglas E. Potter. 16. How can a loving God send people to hell? By Douglas E. Potter. Part 3. Questions about Jesus. 17. Who is Jesus? By Josh McDowell. 18. Is there evidence that Jesus really existed? By Gary R. Habermas and Benjamin C. F. Shaw. 19. Are the gospel accounts reliable? By F. David Farnell. 20. What about the alternative gospels? By H. Wayne House. 21. How do we know that Jesus is God? By Ron Rhodes. 22. Is there evidence that Jesus rose from the dead? By Gary R. Habermas and Benjamin Shaw. 23. Did Christianity copy earlier pagan resurrection stories? By Edwin A. Yamauchi. 24. Why is it important that Jesus rose from the dead? By Phil Fernandez. 25. How did Jesus use apologetics? By Patrick Zuckeron. Part 4. Questions about the Bible. 26. Are the Old Testament manuscripts reliable? By Walter C. Kaiser, Jr. 27. How do the Dead Sea Scrolls show the reliability of the Old Testament text? By J. Randall Price. 28. Does archaeology confirm the historical reliability of the Old Testament? By Stephen Collins. 29. Were the New Testament manuscripts copied accurately? By Don Stewart and Joseph Holden. 30. Is the Quran's text more reliable than the biblical text? By J. H. Smith. 31. Does archaeology confirm the historical reliability of the New Testament? By Brian Janeway. 32. What is the internal evidence for the historical reliability of the New Testament? By H. Wayne House. 33. Are there contradictions in the Bible? By Norman L. Geisler. 34. What would a trial lawyer say about the claims of the Gospels? By Christopher P. Burke. 35. Can prophecy be used as evidence that the Bible is reliable? By Patty Tunnicliffe. Part 5. Questions about Science and Faith. 36. What is the scientific case for intelligent design? By William A. Dembski. 37. How do we respond to objections to intelligent design? By Casey Luskin. 38. What are the top 10 scientific problems with evolution? By Casey Luskin. 39. What about Darwin's doubt and the chances of information emerging from random mutations? by Stephen C. Meyer. 40. How Should Christians Think About the Origins of the Universe? By J.T. Bridges. 41. Do We Have a Privileged Planet? By Guillermo Gonzalez. 42. Does Science and the Bible Conflict? By Terry Mortensen. 43. What is the Relationship Between Science and Faith? By Terry Mortensen. 44. Has the Christian Worldview Had a Positive Impact on the Development of Science? By Casey Luskin and Stephen C. Meyer. 45. What is the Scientific Evidence for Adam and Eve? By J.C. Sanford. Part 6. Questions from Christians, Seekers, and Skeptics. 46. Is There Any Evidence of Life After Death? By Gary R. Habermas and Benjamin C.F. Shaw. 47. Is It Reasonable to Believe in Heaven and Hell? By Randy Alcorn. 48. Is Jesus the Only Way to God? By Phil Fernandez. 49. Are Christians Intolerant and Narrow-Minded? By Dylan Burrows. 50. Why Is It Important That Jesus Died on the Cross? By Terry L. Mithy. 51. Is Christian Belief Just Psychological Wish Fulfillment? By Denise Osterman. 52. Are Miracles Possible? By Richard G. Howe. 53. Is It Okay for Christians to Doubt? By Terry L. Mithy. 54. Why Do We Reason from the Scriptures with Cultists? By Ron Rhodes. 55. Is the Trinity a Contradiction? By Ed Hinson. Part 7. Questions about Worldviews. What is Philosophy and Why Is It Important? By Richard G. Howe. 57. What is Agnosticism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Richard G. Howe. 58. What is Materialism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Mark M. Hanna. 59. What is Rationalism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Richard G. Howe. 60. What is Scientism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Douglas E. Potter. 61. What is Moral Relativism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Sean McDowell. 62. What is Postmodernism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Mark M. Hanna. 63. What is Atheism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By David R. C. Dean. 64. What is Pantheism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Patrick Zuckerron. 65. What is Monism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Dylan Burrows. 66. What is Panentheism and What Is Its Essential Flaw? By Christopher Travis Houn. Part 8. Questions about Apologetics of the Past. 67. Who was Justin Martyr? By William E. Nix. 68. Who was Augustine? By William E. Nix. 69. Who was Anselm? By Ralph McKinsey. 70. Who was Thomas Aquinas? By Norman L. Geisler. 71. Who was Blaise Pascal? By Terry Glaspy. 72. Who was William Paley? By Terry L. Mithy. 73. Who was C.S. Lewis? By Terry Glaspy. 74. Who was Cornelius Van Til? By David Haynes. 75. Who was Francis Schaeffer? By Terry L. Mithy. Summary note. This book consists of 75 chapters, each of which puts forth an answer to a particular question. Each answer is concise, but usually runs 4 to 6 pages. In order to give a picture of the type of material the book contains, the following summary presents a sample selection of the book's chapters. Summary. Forward and Preface. God has commanded us to engage in a defense of the faith, and thus defending the faith must be something God, in His wisdom, can equip us to do. Scripture is filled with admonitions to reason, know the truth, and refute errors. The need for apologetics has never been greater, and the range of issues is vast. This is a war for hearts and minds. As C.S. Lewis observed, good philosophy must exist because bad philosophy exists. We must not leave the vulnerable without helping them. This book contains 75 chapters, each written by an expert, that will help equip the saints to answer questions and contend for the faith. Question 1. What is apologetics, and why do we need it? From the very beginning, the Church met theological and philosophical objections to the faith. Apologetics is the giving of a reasoned defense for truth. Today, the challenges have never been greater, but thankfully, there has also been great growth in Christian apologetics. Apologetics shows why Christianity is true and also refutes objections to it. It is pre-evangelism, preparing the way for the gospel. God commands apologetics, and the world needs answers and the defense of the truth. We need to dismantle wrong ideas and deal with doubts. God has given us reason as a tool to test and know the truth, and we must use reason to love God with all our minds and to justify our beliefs. Before we can believe in something, we must believe that it is true. The testimony of many believers shows that apologetics played a crucial role in their conversion. Question 5. What is the relationship between faith and reason? The relationship between faith and reason is often a contentious topic for debate between secularists and Christians. Often faith is defined as blind faith or believing in spite of a lack of evidence. But this is not what real faith is. Without logic and objective reason, we couldn't know anything. The answer to life's ultimate questions are revealed by God, and they do not violate logic. All through Scripture, there is an appeal to reason for grounding faith. Faith is contrasted with sight, religious works, and mere assent, but it is never contrasted with reason. Faith has both subjective and objective aspects. It is commitment and trust in line with evidence rather than against it. Reason is a God-given capacity to seek truth and to acquire general knowledge. Rational reflection on evidence should lead us to truth. Sin corrupts us, but it does not destroy our ability to use logic. Faith is the reasonable response of trusting God, and this is supported by logic and evidence. Question 10. What is the Holy Spirit's role in apologetics? The Holy Spirit brings conviction and truth. Neither apologetics nor evangelism can succeed without His work. Christians need to live godly lives and share the gospel, and both of these activities require the power of the Spirit. Receiving the gospel also requires the Spirit's work. We must speak the truth in love, and love is produced by the Spirit. Ultimately, it is He alone who illuminates the mind, confirms the truth, and changes the unbeliever's heart. Thus, no one comes to faith in Christ apart from the gracious work of the Holy Spirit. We are told to give our reason with gentleness and respect, virtues which are produced supernaturally. Only the Spirit can give us the power and wisdom to refute false teaching. Question 12. What are the classical proofs for God's existence? The classical proofs are Christian arguments that employ categories of Greek philosophy. They roughly fall into three kinds: cosmological, teleological, and moral. Contemporary cosmological arguments that appeal to science and empirical evidence to establish creation of the universe and time are not classical, even if they are persuasive. Aquinas's classical argument was not that the universe required a creator, but that the continued existence of the contingent universe requires a being whose essence is existence. A classic theological argument maintains that things move towards ends or goals, and an intelligence is what directs things towards ends. Contemporary moral arguments insist that objective morality exists, and God is the explanation for this reality. Classical moral arguments see that human beings, out of all material creation, do not always obey God's will. The relationship between the human will and God's will must be explored. Working from natural law, a classical moral argument provides an explanation for the reality of the moral order we know. Morality concerns what is good, and human goodness is connected to human nature, the existence of which requires a maker. Question 15. Canaanites, Crusades, and Catastrophes. Is God a moral monster? Many people struggle with the perception that God is morally evil, since he commanded the death of the Canaanites and permits natural disasters. In history, the church has also been involved in wars and slaughter, for example, the Crusades. It is vital to realize that the Canaanites were incredibly depraved and committing countless atrocities. God gave them centuries to repent, but they persisted in their evil. Any children who were killed under the ban would have gone to heaven. The natural world was created good, but it is affected by our sin, and now it regularly produces byproducts that can be harmful. Sinful human beings, rather than God, are the direct cause of natural disasters. Since disasters occur because of our rebellion, without the regularity of nature, we would not be able to exercise responsible moral agency, since we would never be able to predict the consequences of our actions. God is the source of both goodness and life. Unlike anyone else, God has the sovereign right over giving life and taking life away. Question 16. How can a loving God send people to hell? Scripture is unmistakably clear that hell is a real place, and the unrepentant sinners who go there experience it for eternity. God is a God of love, but he is also holy, just, and perfectly righteous. He offers sinners the opportunity to repent and be saved by Christ, but he is too holy to have eternal fellowship with those who remain in their rebellion and wickedness. Hell is not a torture chamber, but a place where wrongs are righted and the guilty receive justice. Those who go to hell choose eternal death over the eternal life offered by God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Question 17. Who is Jesus? Jesus cannot be reduced to simply a moral teacher or religious leader. He is the incarnate Son of God, the Messiah. He is the Lord. Jesus fulfilled numerous specific prophecies about the identity of the Messiah in a way which cannot be explained by chance. God gave prophecies so that his Son could be clearly identified, and only Jesus fulfilled them. The trilemma of Lord, liar, or lunatic leads to the conclusion that Jesus was truly the Lord. But it needs to be worked through carefully, unfolding the reasoning, evidence, and argument. Jesus was not mentally insane, and he was marked by honesty and integrity. Since he claimed that he was the Son of God and the Messiah, he was telling the truth. For centuries now, sinners have found salvation and hope in Jesus Christ. Question 25. How did Jesus use apologetics? Jesus made extraordinary claims, and he persuasively justified that his claims were true. All throughout his teachings and ministry, Jesus used logic and reason to support his claims and to refute objections. Rather than asking people to rely on his words alone, Jesus pointed people to witness who vindicated his identity. He also performed miracles, vindicating his claims through the power of God. Jesus fulfilled scripture and numerous prophecies, and he drew people's attention to how this confirmed his identity. The resurrection is the great proof and vindication of Christ. He prophesied that he would be raised from the dead, and then he fulfilled this promise. Jesus was the greatest teacher and apologist in the history of the world, and we ought to imitate his use of reason, evidence, logic, and proof. Question 31. Does archaeology confirm the historical reliability of the New Testament? In the past 200 years, archaeology has uncovered thousands of artifacts that demonstrate the reliability and accuracy of the New Testament. Numerous figures in the New Testament have been identified in extra-biblical sources and archaeological finds. Although only a minority of the places described in the Bible have been excavated, what has been found confirms the incredible accuracy of the biblical witness to geography, culture, and the specifics of places, names, people, offices, title, and countless other details. The archaeological evidence continues to conclusively demonstrate that the New Testament writers were historically accurate. Question 33. Are there contradictions in the Bible? Despite the common charge that the Bible is filled with contradictions, it has never been demonstrated that a contradiction existed in the original autographs. Errors are found in some copies of the original, but this is expected. We know that God cannot err, and since the Bible is the Word of God, the Bible cannot err. God inspired the Bible, and divine inspiration entails inerrancy. There is no part of the Scripture that contains an error. Partial inerrancy is a false position. There are difficulties that require further research, and our interpretations are fallible, but our lack of perfect knowledge does not mean the text is errant. It is vital to read passages in context and to interpret difficult passages through clear ones. Scripture was written in normal human language, with varying literary style and common sense standards of precision and communication. Question 36. How do we respond to objections to intelligent design? It is common for people to object that intelligent design is religious rather than scientific. But intelligent design is science because it uses the standard scientific method of observation, hypothesis, experiment, and conclusion. Intelligent design uses empirical investigation and the rules of valid inference to determine if design is present. Unfortunately, many criticisms of intelligent design are really ad hominem attacks, or fall into the genetic fallacy where the argument is rejected because the person who advances it is religious. Unlike creationism, intelligent design only shows evidence that there is an intelligent designer. The identity of that designer is not specified by the theory, since to do so would be beyond the purview of science. Only intelligence, rather than an unguided process, can account for some of the irreducible complexity and specified complexity we find in biology. Intelligent design is not a God of the gaps argument, because it is an inference based upon what we do know, not what we don't know. Question 44. Has the Christian worldview had a positive impact on the development of science? Since the time of Darwin, many secularists have insisted that science and faith are at war with each other. This warfare view, however, is logically invalid and historically untrue. In fact, the consensus among serious historians is that it was the virtues of the Judeo-Christian religion that caused science to be born in Europe, where that religious worldview had taken root. Isaac Newton is perhaps the greatest founder of modern science, and he was a convinced theist who believed that science would work because God created the world with a regular, discoverable order. He believed that science was a religious duty and that the universe operated with one set of laws because a monotheistic God created it. Newton's beliefs about God and science were widely shared by the great scientists of his day, and their views propelled science forward. Science arose in Christian Europe and not somewhere else, because the presuppositions of Christianity made science a rational and worshipful activity. Question 51. Is Christian belief just psychological wish fulfillment? Many people today echo Freud's theory that religious beliefs are the product of wish fulfillment. Freud theorized, although none of his theories or methodologies passed the test of empirical science, that religion arose because people were faced with the terrors of this world and found comfort in projecting the existence of a supreme father who had superior wisdom to providentially work things out for children, even after their death. Freud was contemptuous of religion, the God of the Bible, and Christians, characterizing them and failing to seriously engage the relevant issues. He rejected the Bible out of hand as filled with contradictions and endlessly revised, and he asserted that science would clear away the illusion of religion. Given Freud's theory of the Oedipus complex, it could be argued that his desire for atheism to be true is a projected wish to murder the father. Sinners do not want a judge and moral accountability. The gospel is true, and it is not something we would invent, but a gracious reality given to us by God. Question 62. What is postmodernism, and what is its essential flaw? Postmodernism has influenced a number of academic fields and has had a deep impact on our culture and society. Since postmodernism is thoroughly relativistic, it is self-referential and self-refuting. Postmodernism rejects the following modernist beliefs. 1. Absolute universal truths and objective knowledge. 2. Sufficiency of reason and science for achieving all knowledge. 3. The inevitability of progress by means of reason and science. And 4. Meta-narrative. The rejection of universal truth is central to postmodernism, and this axiom generates a host of consequences. To assert that there are no absolute truths is to make an absolute truth claim. So, postmodernism is self-refuting. Postmodernists may counter by saying they reject logic, but they use logic continually, and the denial of logic requires using logic. To argue that everything is a text and that text can be deconstructed into infinite interpretations means that postmodern texts have no meaning. The rejection of meta-narratives is a hallmark of postmodernism, but in sweeping them aside, it establishes itself as a meta-narrative. Postmodernism's most basic flaw is its self-defeating view of truth. Copyright 2025, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.